You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
All right, welcome in. It's another edition of Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Along with me is Alberto Retta. Sal Monte is back at our River Oaks property, Schoolyard Sports Studios. We are on location at the Hotel del Norte. It is the 25 Downtown Barstool Open. We've been here in downtown El Paso for the entire day, celebrating with all 100 teams of four playing in El Paso's biggest mini golf tournament out here. But we're talking UTEP basketball here on the show, and we're going to spend the next half hour or so doing this. 915-505-6009. If you want to weigh in on this one, let's get it started right now. 915-505-6009. We'll burn through calls, and we'll get to your takes immediately after this one right here. This is the third game in the last four matchups where the Miners just could not close out against their opponents in the final minutes. They had the opportunities in this one. You could look at the, Otis Frazier the third turnover down low. You could look at the inopportune pass. He was looking for Kevin Kalu down low and just couldn't find him. It was to look for Corey Camper Jr. as maybe a three-pointer to not send it into overtime, but maybe like get that final bucket to win it for the Miners. But instead, the Miners missed that one. They were forced to foul. Middle Tennessee ekes this one out, 71-68. Sal, it's kind of the same story that we talked about over the past, at least the three out of the last four games. It was first against Jacksonville State at home last week on Thursday. It was against the Western Kentucky team, and tonight, or I should say today, this afternoon, it was Middle Tennessee who just closed it out against the Miners, and now we're continued to be kind of scratching our head wondering really happened to close this one out.
Yeah, and I think the frustrating part about today's game is the fact that if you don't make some of those mistakes, you probably win the game, because I think in Conference USA it's going to come down to four teams or so that have a chance to win the championship. The problem with that, though, is there's a shuffling of about five or six teams who want to fit in that four spot. But on the other side, man, when with the Miners, it just seems like they're hurting themselves with these opportunities. Middle Tennessee did not play good by any stretch of the imagination either. They were giving the Miners the game, and the Miners not able to take advantage of it. That's not always going to happen. You're going to have to scrape and claw just to be where you were at today, but Middle Tennessee made that easier for the Miners, and they still made a lot of mistakes and didn't capitalize on it.
Miners had five different players in double figures in this matchup right here. The two that weren't, who started in this matchup for the Miners, Ahmad Bynum, he had 3 points for 1 of 8 from the field. Devin Barnes, only 2 points, 1 of 4 from the field as well. And that happened earlier today. When it came to Otis Frazier the third, you got 14 from him, but he also had 3 turnovers in this matchup. David Terrell Jr., I mean, don't take him for granted, Sal. That's one that I want to stamp right there. 15 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 3 turnovers, played all 40 minutes, loved his game tonight. That was probably the bright spot of this matchup right here when you had to look at it. And then, Corey Camper Jr., he had 10 in this one, 36 minutes. He played 36 minutes off the bench, and they were thinking he was doubtful going into it. So credit to Camper's toughness. I liked his performance in this one. Derek Hamilton, he had 14. He had a couple mistakes in this one, but nonetheless, 14 points, 14 minutes, an efficient day for Derek Hamilton, and just still unable to close this one out when it was all said and done. Kevin Kalu, by the way, also got into double figures with 10 for the Miners, but just unable to stop them in this one. You could look at Mostafa in the second half kind of taking over for Middle Tennessee. He had 17 points. Counter had 21 for the Blue Raiders in this matchup, and then Porter finished with 15 when it was all said and done. I mean, Alberto, we got a chance to watch this one, follow it all the way through, and if you would have told me that Corey Camper Jr. plays 36 minutes of action in this game, I would have said they're winning. UTEP is winning this game, knowing they had five players in double figures and Corey Camper playing 30 plus minutes.
Yeah, just those two features alone makes you think that the UTEP Miners were going to win, but it wasn't enough, right? It wasn't enough, and it was definitely a disappointing match, but I like to look at the positive, and the positive positive that I take away from this is 14 points from Derek Hamilton on 14 minutes. So now you know Derek Hamilton, he can play at least 15 minutes from you. Granted, you didn't win the game, and you had Corey Camper Jr. play 30 minutes, which to me is not ideal because you lose the game. What's this all worth if you play him not at 100%, you don't get him the win, and you still have a week ahead of you to rest? That's kind of what I wish they would have done, just giving him a little bit more rest time, giving more guys in the rotation minutes. Guys like Elijah Jones, who only gets like 3 minutes today. I don't understand that, and that's what I'd really would like to see a little more of. A little more Elijah Jones. What do you think, Adrian?
Yeah, I think Elijah Jones, I mean, of course, we talked about him just being one of the mainstay guys for this team. I mean, Elijah has been kind of like that guy for them in the front court, and I felt like Elijah just, you know, he deserved to play more than 3 minutes. Maybe they were real upset about that one foul that he had when he was thrown into the mix. So, I don't know. I was disappointed in the way that the Miners finished this one out, weren't able to close this one out when it was all said and done. We'll welcome into the program George Guajardo. He is also with us in studio. George, give us your reactions after this one. Miners fall to Middle Tennessee, 71-68.
Yeah, Adrian, where Alberto is going to be positive and see the glass half full, I'm going to be a little bit negative here. I'm very concerned with this loss. UTEP outshot Middle Tennessee in both makes and field goal attempts. Couldn't make up any ground with that, really, in this game. They ended up shooting 9 more field goals than Middle Tennessee. Typically, that's a good recipe for success. And that Middle Tennessee missed, what, almost 11 free throws? If 13 free throws, they shot only 46% from the free throw line. So they were definitely trying to give UTEP this win. UTEP just did not want it. A bad efficiency game from Otis Frazier. Another kind of tough game for Devin Barnes. A very tough game for Ahmad Bynum. Look, the last 3 games, UTEP has went scoreless. I'm sorry, of the last 4 games, UTEP went scoreless for 2 minutes and 42 seconds against Jack State. They went on a minute 41 scoring drought against Western Kentucky. And then this game, 3 minutes and 10 seconds against Middle Tennessee to not even score a single point in those final moments of the game.
I love that stat.
Terrible, terrible, terrible way to close games.
That stat right there, George, is got to be the most important, most relevant stat that you're going to find right now when you talk about these 3 games in particular in the last 4 matchups. Just those scoring droughts to close out games. You'd feel better about the Miners closing these games out if they had some, you know, offensive production where they're scoring it late in these games. But that's the problem. The scoring droughts really hamper this team down the stretch. So if you want to talk about it, let's do it. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. We got a couple tweets to get to already, and we got a call to get to as well. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. Kurt is first with us on the phone lines. Kurt, good afternoon, man. What's going on?
How you doing, guys? How you doing, guys?
Kurt, we're doing all right. What about you?
All right. First of all, Elijah Jones, he needs to be playing some more. We talked about this the last few games. That's on the coaches. I don't know what's going on there. But when he gets in there, he has an effect on the team. Also, the free throws, 24-6, favor Middle Tennessee. The home cook in there. Other than that, guys, UTEP needs to learn how to close out games.
I'll take that.
They gotta close out games.
They do,
and,
man. They do. I mean,
and sorry. And they have to, and because coming down to the tournament time, if they don't want to close out games, then they won't advance anywhere. And they gotta have that knockout punch, and they gotta play 40 minutes of hell to do it. So they have to have more scoring from the guards. Barnes and Bynum didn't show up today, and then need more consistency, guys. So with that being said, I'll leave it at that, and here we go.
All right, appreciate the phone call, Kurt. Thanks for weighing in on the show. 915-505-6009. Couple tweets to get to as well. And it's interesting he pulls up the rebounding numbers, Sal. We heard that throughout the entire broadcast. The free throw discrepancy in this one. I would say, you know, Mustafa, who had 12 free throw attempts. He was 5 for 12, by the way, just terrible. Miners were 5 of 6, so they had half the number of free throw attempts as Mustafa in this one when it was all said and done. And, you know, Middle Tennessee, fortunately for the Miners, they only shot 45% from the charity stripe. Miners were 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Still, Sal, did you take home cooking into this, into account as far as, you know, for this Miner loss?
You know what? I'm going to say yes, but also at the same time, too, UTEP gets that home cooking when they're on their own home floor as well. Just about every team in Conference USA is going to get it night in and night out. Even with all of that being said, Adrian, they still had a chance to win this game. The ref isn't turning the ball over for them. The ref is not making bad passes. The ref is not the one who's late after hedging on a screen. You know what I mean? You got to be able to solidify those spots. So, yeah, there's home cooking, but there was a lot of food to go around anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. 915-505-6009. Great job there, Sal. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. It's Brian who's joining us next. Brian, give us your thoughts after this one right here. Middle Tennessee defeats UTEP by 3 points, 71-68. Go ahead.
Well, man, it's really a terrible loss for the Miners to go back-to-back road losses. But, you know, after seeing some of the substitutions made by a team, it was rather disappointing to watch because if you had a greater substitution within the second half, this game definitely could have been a lot more winnable than it already was. But still, besides that, it was just not really that great at the end. And I'm starting to question Golden's ability to end games like this because it's having back-to-back. How long are we going to continue to have this before it becomes a genuine concern for the team?
It's a good question, and I appreciate the phone call, Brian. Thank you for weighing in. You know, the late game situations against Jacksonville State were frustrating. Last game against Western Kentucky, they lose 78-74. Then they lose to Middle Tennessee by 3, 71-68. There's an argument to say, you know, hopefully they lose these close games now instead of losing them in the Conference USA tournament in Huntsville, Alabama. But at the same time, Alberto, there's the other side to it where you got to start winning some of these close games to put yourself into a position where you believe that you can actually close out these games when they're hanging in the balance.
Yeah, you know what it is to me. You know what's really important is the ability to be streaky when you need to be and to end other teams' streaks when they're getting streaky. And today we saw the team go cold, and instead of reaching in the bag and trying to get something going for the Miners, what did they do? They had Elijah Jones in a hoodie in the second half when they really needed something, and that's what's frustrating, right? When you're going cold, instead of reaching in the bag and trying different things, you leave the same stuff out there and you let stuff really play out, and you'll have 5 minutes with no buckets. That's not going to lead to success at any level, and I think that's what needs to be addressed. When you're going minutes without scoring buckets, do something to change that.
Yeah, and maybe that's flipping the rotation like you're mentioning. Maybe that's the whole idea behind it. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. We are live right now as we continue here on Miner Talk. Tristan Pence here is weighing in on the program. He says, a very bad loss by UTEP today. Middle Tennessee gave the Miners every opportunity to win this game with poor free throw shooting. The Miners' shot selection was very poor in the final 3 minutes, and as usual, the bench coaching by Golding and his staff were just plain bad. This is coming in from Daniel Gonzalez. I'm a season ticket holder, but I'm done with this team. That's a little, you know, I'm just going to say that. To Daniel's point, that's a little reactionary after this one right here. I get the frustration, but a little reactionary, Daniel. Hang in there, man. I think next week against New Mexico State, if you want to jump ship after that one, I mean, go right ahead. But after back-to-back losses on the road, I know they were tight. I guess if you're going to look at this glass half full, they did have an opportunity to win both of these games. But, yeah, I wouldn't jump ship completely. Still a lot of basketball to play. Still 9 games. This is coming in from Locomotive Miner. By the way, happy belated birthday, my man. I know Golding says the bigs are expensive, and I believe in him, but how can every team in the conference afford one, yet we can't? I mean, look, Locomotive Miner isn't wrong with this one right here. It's an interesting statement that he's actually saying right here. And, you know, I would say to the bigs being expensive point, I know that UTEP has gone after guys in the transfer portal process and thrown some NIL that way to, you know, try to attract some bigs coming their way. They didn't have to do it this offseason, or they didn't choose to do it this offseason. They chose to go more three-point specialist this season, thinking that was what they needed to really fix. So that's one of those right there that they probably do need a true low post guy who can get buckets for you. Kind of like a Bryson Williams. You know, they don't really have something like that. They just have a guy who plays in the dunker role or in the dunker spot and just kind of gets the buckets when he can. We'll go back to the phone lines right now. 915-505-6009. Coming up next, it's Orly. Orly, go ahead, man. Give us your thoughts after this one.
You know, it's frustrating. I've been following UTEP since the late 60s. You get these phone calls, the apologists for this. We've been hearing this for 4 years now. They can't finish games. They go every year. There's games where they go 4 or 5 minutes without scoring. It's a common occurrence with this team. Bottom line is you got to look who's running the team. Nice guy, but I don't think he's going to – I think as we're getting ready to jump into a better conference, you better start looking at a better coaching staff because the conference is going to get a little bit tougher now. If he can't win in Conference USA, how's he going to win in Mountain West when you're stepping up a level? That's my concern. It's frustrating. It's irritating. I don't want to hear about the – and Sal, you're right, whoever said it. You've got discrepancies at home every game. Everybody's going to get home field. Don't complain about the officiating. You had opportunities. Didn't score for 3 minutes, whatever it was. The play selection, the call was 7 seconds to go. They drew it up. It's just aggravating. Middle Tennessee's not that good, guys. This league is not that good, and we can't compete with them. That's what's frustrating. And as we go into the Mountain West, we got 1 year left. What are they going to put on their shirts this week? Are they going to put -28 for the loss to New Mexico State? Or what's that going to be the new moniker this week? All we heard about was 10-31. Then they go into Western Kentucky and blow it. That's supposed to be their big game of the year, their payback. Didn't show up. It's not only, it's coaching, it's also, there's no, I just don't feel there's any pride in that team right now. That's how I feel. It's frustrating. Coming from a guy that's followed this team since the 60s. And yesterday someone called in that, after I called in saying that we hadn't had a signature win. Yale's not a signature win, dude. When you're sitting there and it used to be Georgetown's, Indiana's, Michigan's, and Ohio State's, and Alabama's every year on our schedule, and now our schedule's made up. Keep playing those Western New Mexico, Sol Ross.
Awesome, Morley. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate your call. We got to move along, but a lot of interesting thoughts there from Orly. And I don't know if we have you guys still, but yeah, man, he's basically bringing it in, talking about how this team, I guess, is not necessarily living up to, I guess the traditions, which we know is hard to do. It's hard to win a championship every year. But Adrian, man, Orly just frustrated and a big longtime Miner fan.
Yeah, I mean, I understand his frustrations, too, and I appreciate the phone call, Orly. Thanks for weighing in. I'll tell you this, a lot of Mountain West talk right there in that phone call. The best news of the day, this is the best news of the day. Like, forget the win or loss. If UTEP won, this still wouldn't have been that wouldn't have been better than this news right here. This is coming in from Luke Fletcher. He says, I can confirm that the Mountain West and CBS Sports are currently in extension talks about a multi-year deal that will extend their television relationship through the 2032 season. It's massive news right there. I mean, there were people out there on Twitter and X, on social media, even who called in on this show questioning the future TV deal, wondering, is this actually going to happen? Thinking, oh, this current CUSA is a better draw for TV revenue than the new look Mountain West. I'm happy that CBS Sports has a great deal and a great relationship with Gloria Navarez, the new Mountain West commissioner. And of course, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It's one of those things where I find Gloria Navarez has a great relationship with TV partners like CBS. Judy McLeod, the Conference USA commissioner, fought to get UTEP in on things like ESPN Plus, fought to get UTEP into things like, you know, CBS Sports Network on a one-off, or ESPNU for like a one-off and stuff like that. I mean, this was the same Conference USA that was like on Facebook Live and like on Stadium and
yes,
stuff like that.
Bro.
So, Sal, the fact that they have the assurance to go to CBS Sports in the Mountain West, that's massive news.
Yeah, and especially when exposure is one of the nice, how could I say, things that you can add, right, when it comes to recruiting for any sport. Like, hey, we're on national TV, your family can see you, this, that, and the third. Obviously, streaming is not on the exact same level of it. The streaming has gotten a lot better over the years, but just being on national TV alone is amazing in its own right. And guys can have more, how could I say, opportunities to get their highlights seen. It's easy to cut something and post it up online, but when people are watching it live, there's a lot quicker of a reaction, especially when it comes to these big time highlights. So it's huge for UTEP, man.
Yeah.
Not only that, but you know, any team that can get a quote unquote promotion like this.
Oh, no doubt about it. 915-505-6009. Jacob is next up with us here on the phone lines. Jacob, welcome aboard. Give us your thoughts after this game.
I mean, but they just struggle to win on the road, so I'm kind of scared we won't make a run in the Conference USA, the tournament thing. But so yeah, that's what I'm worried about, not winning on the road.
Good job, Jacob. Hey, I appreciate your phone call, man. You're always a knowledgeable guy. I appreciate you giving us a call after this one. And Jacob, a very knowledgeable fan. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to UTEP basketball. He brings up a great point about the Conference USA tournament. They could go all the way into the Conference USA tournament championship game, or they could bow out in the first round. And I don't really think I'd be surprised either way. I'd be surprised they bowed out in the first round. Let me rephrase that. I just wouldn't be absolutely shocked, because there is the parity in the league. It's not like it's great. It's just these teams can beat up on each other. And if you have a struggle in one given night, or if these games kind of hang in the balance and go all the way to the end, well, it's anybody's game. It's kind of a toss-up. It's a 50-50 finish when it's all said and done. Let's burn through more calls. Tom is next up with us, 915-505-6009. Tom, good afternoon, man. Give us your thoughts after UTEP fell to Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Tough act to follow with this previous caller, Jacob. Boy, he is. He's got it going. The game, for whatever reason, was not able to watch it. I had to follow it at the very end of ESPN, and I realized that striking distance. We're not in the best conference. We're in very much a mid-major conference. But once again, the competition in this league, I think, has gone to the next level, but it's very, very tight, and the Miners are putting themselves in positions to win. No excuse. When you have an opportunity to win like this, you got to pull it out. But, I mean, it's not like they got blown out by 20 points or 17, you know, where they were never in the game. I mean, I really think We need to appreciate the fact that these guys are battling day in and day out, and they're still in the mix here. The other thing, too, is I noticed in the Western Kentucky game, they announced the attendance, and I think it was like 3,000 people. I mean, we're complaining because we're getting 5,000 or 6,000 people, and I still think we should get 8,000 to 10,000 people in the stadium, because that would drive the program forward, not only monetarily, but when recruits would come in, they'd see the seriousness of the program and the city behind it. So I think everybody needs to kind of take a deep breath and give this team a chance to see what they can do with the rest of the season. Certainly continue to improve going into the conference tournament. And your thoughts on that?
Good stuff, Tom. I appreciate your phone call. There's a lot to unpack there. Number one, CUSA in attendance is an absolute joke. I agree with you and what you're saying. It's like, you look at some of these other conferences, UTEP fans get a little mad about how the fans don't show up at times to their games. Well, yeah, I get it. But like at the same time, kind of like what you're saying, you look across the league, no one's showing up to any of these games. And that's, you know, it's more of a reflection of CUSA than it is what UTEP fans, in my opinion. I think UTEP has to hold themselves to a high standard, like you're saying. All right, shoot for a 8,000 mark for fan attendance and stuff like that in the future, because in the Mountain West, that's the standard that will be out there for UTEP, and that's just the reality right there. Guys, let's move along. I appreciate the phone call there from Tom. I like it a lot. Let's get to a couple final tweets, final thoughts here from all of us, and then we're going to wrap this one up here on the program. Some guy, Chris, our pal, he tweets into the program, last two games in the final 3 minutes. Miners were 2 for 12 12, 16% from the floor, 1 for 6 from beyond the arc at three-point percentage, 16%, 4 turnovers, 1 technical with a no timeout. That was last game, and they've been outscored 15-6. They led with 3:06 left against Western Kentucky, tied with 2:30 left versus Middle Tennessee. First back-to-back losses of the season for the Miners, writes Chris on Twitter next. And that's just, you know, the reality right there of this team. Guys, let's ping around the room. Let's go around just to final thoughts as the Miners head into a crucial Battle of I-10 week. They're going to have basically an entire week off before they have to take on the Aggies in Las Cruces out at the Pan Am Center. So, George, we'll start with you. Then we'll go to Sal, and then I'll wrap it up here with Alberto, and then we'll close it out here with some awards here on Miner Talk as we wrap this one up.
Yeah, quickly, Adrian, I just want to challenge UTEP to do better offensively. Everything seems like a challenge offensively. Nothing comes easy on the offensive end. I like to see them clean that up and get some easier looks. Also would like to see Coach Golding be a little bit less rigid with his lineups, especially at the end. Got to get it some energy injected, get Elijah Jones in there, do something, start figuring out ways to get answers.
Yeah.
All right. What about you, Sal?
Yeah, for sure. For UTEP, obviously, game plans are going to come and go. You got to be able to win the situation. So in the final 4 minutes or so, find ways to get buckets and capitalize on it. Also, too, stick to your defense. I know they didn't force that many turnovers today. It was something like 12 turnovers from Middle. However, even when that's still happening and you're not generating points off of it, seal the deal with the rebound, win that possession, win the moment in the final 3 minutes. That's what I want to see. There's going to be a lot more games that are going to be like this. Can they right those wrongs by winning that situation?
Alberto, your final thoughts going into the Battle of I-10 next week. By the way, the Miners are 15-6 right now after the loss here, back-to-back losses. I'm sorry, 15-7 after the back-to-back losses here to Western Kentucky and now Middle Tennessee.
15-7 in the final half of the season. I think it's time to bounce back, right? It's time to right the wrongs from that 28-point home loss against New Mexico. It's time to go out there, right the wrongs, do what you need to do to get right. And, I mean, apart from that I'd like to see the rotation kind of finally fixed and all banged out so that guys like Elijah Jones get more minutes or just guys who make an impact, a positive impact. I want them playing late in the game.
I hear you. I hear you on that. Guys, this is about to do it here for us on the program. I just want to give a big shout-out to Wind Supply El Paso and our hot hand of the game, David Terrell Jr., 15 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, played in all 40 minutes of action here in this matchup, 3 turnovers but 2 steals in this game. David Terrell Jr., what a weekend by him. He's been phenomenal all weekend long, and he's really growing up in front of us right before our eyes. The sophomore, not necessarily going through any sort of slump, freshman of the year last year across Conference USA, David Terrell Jr. He is the hot hand of the game, and that is brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. So, hey, with Wind Supply El Paso, you can stay on schedule with them. Hit the Find a Dealer tab, check out the Master Cool dealers, the different champion dealers out there, and get ready for those warm weather situations coming here to El Paso. Make sure that you're cool coming up here in the spring and the summer, thanks to Wind Supply El Paso. Visit them online at windsupplyelpaso.com. It is New Mexico State next. I'm going to read and burn through a couple tweets just to wrap this one up. Talk facts only. Guy 10:33 must signify the daily scoring drought of Otis Frazier III, and boy, leave out there. Coach Joe Golding should just put a for sale sign up. Defense has become atrocious, and you guys can't get shots up. Oh man, that's a rough comment right there. This is coming in from Pick My Axe 915. Huge jump for UTEP, and this is just CBS. Mountain West could possibly have more media partners in the future. Joe Chacon. I don't even want to read this one. It's about the WWE. King Eric, is it time to start questioning Golding's future? Again, I don't understand the final play calling. Going to Frazier down low, either have Kalu, Hamilton in that spot, or a screen for a Bynum three-pointer. Nah, I'm not putting Golding on the hot seat whatsoever. I wouldn't say that at all. That's just where I stand right now. But guys, that's going to do it for us here on the program. For George Guajardo and for Sal Montes back at a River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, special thanks to Alberto Reta, who joined us here at Hotel Paso del Norte as we get ready for the 2025 Downtown Barstool Open Award Ceremony that are just about to happen here in downtown El Paso. But for everybody back at our River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios, I'm Adrian Broaddus, and thank you again for listening to us here on Minor Talk. We'll be back in action. A big show next week. Battle of I-10, UTEP taking on New Mexico State. We'll have it for you, and that's coming up next Saturday. For all of us here, we're signing off and saying thanks for listening to Minor Talk right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.